Chalad. We left off on the Mishnah on Kuf Gimel on the base. We're right at the stretch run, last two blot of the Masechta. Not even two blot, last blot and a half, really. Zakta Mishnah. Kuf Gimel on base. Kain Shalaka Batzpah. So, first, we're going to focus on Mishnah Gemara is going to discuss where the Chatzitzas for a Kain doing Aveda and it comes in the context, of course, where we're discussing what he's allowed to do on Shabbos in terms of what's considered an issue of refuah or even chavala. We'll see. That's really what comes into our Mishnah. But the Gemara's focus is not going to be so much on the Shabbos element, more on the general topic of kanim and doing avoda. And then we'll get to other conversations again in the next Mishnah regarding things that can be done on Shabbos, which actually is going to lead to a discussion hashmas kol, a long discussion on making noise klishir on Shabbos. We'll see. Says the Mishnah, kain shalaka betzbay karechala gami b'mikdash avle medina. A kain who got a wound on his finger. This is Mishnah Kuf Gimel Beis. A kain gets a wound on his finger, and he wants to put some sort of bandage on it. So they used to put a reed grass type of bandage around it. And the reed grass, Rashi points out in the Mishnah, has some curative properties. The reed grass has somehow it doesn't just protect the wound; it helps it get better. Which is going to be the Mar's going to reference it right at the end. But that's a part of the chiddush here. You allowed to do it in the Mikdash, but not in the Medina. Using any curative things, medications on Shabbos, of course, when a person's a chayla, even a shame by Sakana, once he's a status of a chayla, then of course the Rabbanu Mekel, they allow medicines. But when a person is less than a chayla, if he's not considered a chayla, if he's mechesh ba'amo, if he's even not feeling well, but he's not a chayla, then he's not allowed to use medicine. The reason is because we're scared of gezeira, that if we allow people to use medicine, they may come to make medicine. Making medicine typically requires teichen, grinding. It requires making some manim, grinding up some manim, making some substances into medication. It includes malachas. And therefore, Chazal said in general, they made a blanket rule against taking medicine on Shabbos, unless you first reach a madriga of ill enough where they relax the rule. So over here, we're saying in the Mikdash, one could put the bandage on, even though it has curative properties. Why? Because it's the Mikdash. And the Mikdash, you know, we're not worried about the Drabbanans. Number one, Rashi is number two. On top of that, in the Mikdash, the Kain is doing Avaida. It's very not becoming for an open wound to be, you know, to be exposed when he's doing Avaida. It's not proper kibud for the Avaida. So there's really a double reason, besides the concept we've had throughout the past few Mishnayas about Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, that the Drabbanans were relaxed in the Mikdash. On top of that, it's not a cover for the Avaida, Rashi says. But in the Medina, outside the Mikdash, it's going to be usher to use these bandages because of their curative properties. Im Lahitidam. Now, if his intent is to squeeze blood out, to express some blood out of the wound, so he's tying the reed grass tightly to get the blood out, and then it's going to be usher sai in the Medina. Of course, the usher remains usher, and then it's going to be even usher in the Mikdash as well. Why? Because we've upgraded from a deraisa. Now we're onto, I'm sorry, upgrade from a darbanan to a deraisa. We're onto a deraisa now. Says Rashi, what's the deraisa? The deraisa is, first of all, the second story we had before is tzarech avoda. Squeezing out the blood is not tzarech avoda. Covering it, maybe. Squeezing out the blood is not tzarech avoda, number one, Rashi says. Number two, also, it's it's the malach of chavala, and therefore he's being chayvel. Therefore, that's usher. Even in the Mikdash, it's going to be usher. Now, on the words ve'im lahitzi dam, Rashi's lashon is shemahatka begami k'tei lahitzi dama. You wrap it with the reed grass, but you wrap it tightly in order that the blood should come out. That's Rashi Be'as. Rashi is saying it's the distinction of whether he's doing it to express blood or not is how he does it. If he does it tightly, which is normal to cause blood to come out, that's a problem, right? It's the method of how he's doing it, the Maisa. Rashi and Zvachim focus on a different point. Rashi and Zvachim focuses on not the act that he does, but more the kivun. If his kavan is to get blood out, then it's a problem. If his kavan is just to cover it, to protect it, maybe even help cure it, like we said before, that's okay. But if his kavan is to get the dam out, that's a problem. That's Rashi in Zvachim. Magen Avraham points out the seemingly conflict, Stira and Rashi, where over here he's focused on the Maisa, and over there he's focused on the kivun, and he says, there'll be big enough kamina, let's say there's a blood-sucking worm, like a leech, or like some sort of, I've got the exact name of the sherets, I think he calls it the sherets halakha, that the Magen Avraham calls, but there's a certain type of sherets that a person may put on his body in order to suck out blood. Apparently it was done for some sort of refuas. So, if he puts the sherets on his body, if the vert is, he's doing an act with the mice, so that he's squeezing the blood out. Over here, he didn't do a mice. In this case, where he puts a worm on, he didn't do a mice. He put the worm there, the worm sucks it out, to the bug, the sharks, whatever it is, sucks out the blood. He's not doing the mice. I mean, obviously, he's putting it in the right place, but he's not actually causing the blood to be extracted. It's this other critter that's doing it. Whereas, if it's Alts Kivun, as long as he's Kavana for the blood to be extracted and he causes it to happen, even directly, like Rashi and Zvachim, then it would be a problem. So the Magen Avraham says these two different Malchim and Rashi really makes enough Kamina Lamaisa, whether or not it'd be problematic to create a situation where a Sheretz is the one one that draws out the blood. On the flip side, the Magen Avraham also points out that let's say he puts a wrapping on the finger which is not so tight, a wrapping that wasn't so tight, that's for sure going to extract blood. Just a regular wrapping, and the wrapping happens to cause blood to come out. According to Rashi, Be'ez Lechayiv wouldn't be chayiv because he would be chayiv because at the end of the day he wrapped it in a way which caused blood to come out. It would be an issue. According to Rashi over there, since Lemaisa wasn't his kivun, therefore it would be okay. It wouldn't be an issue because it wasn't his kivun. So it's very safkminas in his machal Rashi. But again, the bottom line is if he's trying to do a malacha daraisa, that's going to be a problem even in the mikdash, such as trying to express blood is a problem even in the mikdash. Okay, so the Gemara is really going to focus completely on a side topic, not so much the Shabbos and the mikdash and medina element, but on what things are considered permissible for kain to dress up in the mikdash. Let's see. The whole conversation the Mishnah was only gabi gummy the gabi the reed grass. Aval tzitzit katan, like a belt. Let's say put like a small belt of material around his finger where he has the wound. Have a yitah begadim. You got a new issue. A kain supposed to wear, regular kain wears. He wears the four begadim. Kain wears eight begadim. Regular kain wears four begadim. You're putting a belt around your finger? Oh, it's another begad. That's a problem. So if Yehuda Breid Ruchia says wearing a small belt around the finger is, even if it's protecting the wound, it's a problem of an extra begad. It's an issue. For Rabbi Yechon Amircha says no. The amir yitah begadim el makam begadim. No, extra begadim is only a problem in this place of wearing regular begadim. If it's not in the place of begadim, that's not called yitah begadim, which is very interesting. Rabbi Yechon is saying a big cool here. We're going to get to in a minute to the concept of chatzitza. We're not focused even on chatzitza. We're focused on extra begadim. You're only supposed to wear four begadim. If you're wearing five begadim, that's a problem. And within this element of wearing too many begadim, Rabbi Yechon is saying it's only yitah begadim. Wear when it's in a spot where it's normal to wear begadim, in one of the spots where the kain was a begadim, whether it's on his head or on his body, right? He wears the tunic, he wears the pants, he wears the belt. Whether it's in one of those spots, that's where yitah begadim, extra begadim is a concern, is an issue. But if he's wearing stomp something on his finger, not a concern. Seems like, according at this point, and the truth is, I say, seems like we're going to stick with this. You can be medayik in Rabbi Yechon that no matter how big it is, we don't even care how big it is. He could be wearing a bigger cloth, not just a little belt around his finger. A bigger cloth, as long as it's not in a spot that's normal type of begadim, then it's going to be okay. There is issues of if he's touching the kli and there's something on his hand blocking of chatzitza. We'll see that soon. Rabbi Yechon would agree to that issue. We're talking about just from a yitah begadim perspective. If it's not in the place of the begadim, it doesn't. It's, according to Bechon, it's a non-issue, and seemingly size doesn't matter either. Okay, v'tepe l'mishum chatzitza. Ask him one second before we get to the issue of yitah begadim. Aren't we concerned that the kain is doing avoda? His hands have to be in direct contact with the kelim. You know, else we spoke about it's a kain can't do avoda with the glove. And it's a separate issue. Obviously, it's number one, the issue of chatzitza. His hands not touching the kli. Number two, it says also v'zayin, because it looks like he doesn't want to get his hand dirty with the avoda. By the way, even without the glove, over here, even this little belt around this finger, does not create a chatzitza. Answers the Gemara, two answers. One, b'smayel. The kain does avoda, obviously, with the right hand. Does avoda, he has to be a righty to do avoda, then he does avoda with the right hand. If it's on his left hand, it's not considered a chatzitza. It's not an issue because he doesn't use that hand for avoda anyway. Inami or bimin, it's in the right hand. Shalem makam avoda, but not in the spot of avoda. Meaning, the belt, again, we think of a belt as go wrapping around. Maybe it doesn't fully wrap around. Maybe it's on the back side of the hand. He uses his hand, the front, back, the palm. On the inside of his hand, the palm of his hand inside, he's using that side for the avoda. The back, the opposite side, the outer side of the hand, that's not being used. That's not touching the kli at all. So something around there in that area would not be considered. For example, that would not be considered b'makom avoda, right? So in that case, that's a chatzitza is not an issue. Yitah begadim is a machlokes. Rabbi Yechon says not issue yitah begadim either because it's not makom begadim. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Ben Rav Chiya says yes, it is an issue of yitah begadim. Chatzitza is not an issue, but it's an issue of yitah begadim because it's an extra begad. Upliga derav. And now Rabbi Yechon, who says that because it's not in the place of the begadim, it's by the finger, it can't be an extra begad. He argues on Rava. Why? Dam Rav Amar Chizda. Rava said name of Chizda. But makom begadim afinu machas chizetas. Shle makom begadim shalshash chizetas. Rava said name of Chizda that by makom begadim, in the place where the begadim are, meaning where he wears his mechasayim, where he wears his me'il, where he wears regular begadim. So what's a chatzitza? Even malinima, even a hair's breadth, even a hair, a foreign hair of cloth, of material, whatever it is, substance between his body, he has to be clean every day, between his body and his begadim, that's a chatzitza, b'makam begadim. Shalem b'makam begadim, you know what's a chatzitza? Now the word chatzitza over here is lavdavka. We're not focused so much on chatzitza. We're focused now on extra yiter begadim. So Rashi points out, we're going to have a couple times today. Rashi points out here, we have against surely the chatzitza over here doesn't mean chatzitza, means it's an extra begad. When you're not in the spot of where the begadim are supposed to be worn, shalish al shalish chitzetes. If it's 3 fingers by 3 fingers, not three tzvachim by 3 tzvachim, 3 fingers by 3 fingers, pretty small, a small patch. Once it's 3 fingers by 3 fingers, that's enough to be chitzetes. Again, chitzetes in quotations, it means that's enough to be a yiter begadim. It's too much. It's an extra begad. If it's not a makam begadim and it's less than three by three, then it's not going to be an extra begad. It's not going to be considered a chetzetes, an extra begad. But again, according to Rabbi Yechon, he seemed to say very clearly, once the belt is on the finger, it's not near makam begadim, not a problem. It doesn't give any limitation into size. So says the Gemara. Clearly, Rav is arguing with Beichon, because Beichon said, "Shalei b'makom begadim, there's no such thing as yiter. There's no such thing as extra begadim, not in the spot of begadim." Rav is members clearly arguing with Beichon. We want to discuss what about Rava and Rav Yehuda braid Rav Chia. Rav Chia was one that says that you can't have a belt. Gummy is okay, but a belt, a little cloth belt around the wound is a problem because that's yiter begadim. Presumably, this little cloth belt is not 3 fingers by 3 fingers. 3 fingers by 3 fingers is not huge, but it's not so small. It's already a patch. Presumably, this little belt is not that size either. So, according to Rav, it shouldn't be a problem. So, it seems like Rav argues on both. He's like an in-between shita, in between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Berechia. He's more lenient to Rabbi Berechia because he's saying it's got to be 3 by 3 fingers. Less than that is not a chatzitza, which is not considered yiter begadim, which Rabbi Yehuda Braid Rav Chia is saying that it is already a problem, but he's more machmir than Rabbi Yechon, who says that bechlal, when it's not b'makom begadim, Rabbi Yechon says it's not a problem. Rabbi is saying it is a problem. Says the Gemara, Rabbi clearly argues Rabbi Yechon. Does he also argue with Rav Chia? Can we reconcile him with Rav Chia? Gemara says, yes, we can. Says the Gemara, Adavid Rav Chia, me name it pligi, is he arguing with Rav Chia as well? No, shiny tzilta katan the chashiv, that when you have, we're talking about a cloth being a yiter beged, Rava says the shear is, when it's shleim makam agadim, the shear is 3 fingers by 3 fingers. But that's when it doesn't have a specific shape, size, it doesn't have a chashivas. A belt is, even though it's a tiny belt, the belt to wrap around the finger to protect the wound, that's already considered, even though it's smaller than 3 fingers by 3 fingers, it's chashiv, it's a very clear purpose, it's a clear type of mini beged, and therefore maybe Rav would agree there as well, that that would be a problem of yiter begadim, and therefore we could say Rava is not at odds with Rav Yehuda Bar Chia, only arguing with Rabbi Yechonon. Okay, Lishnachmin, another version of this whole conversation, we're going to tweak the opinion slightly. Essentially, we're going to tweak Rabbi Yechonon primarily, he's the one that we're going to switch. Rabbi Yechonon is going to sound very much like Rava. Says the Gemara, Lishnachrina Amila, another version of this whole Gemara that we just quoted. Amar Vita Rabbi Yechonon, right after the Mishnah says he let her wrap gummy in the base of Mikdash to protect the wound, but not the Medina. The reason why I can't do the Medina is because it's curative, and you can't do healing things, medicinal things on Shabbos. The Mikdash, we say anxious Mikdash. Okay. So Amar Vita Rabbi Yechonon, Lishnachrina Ela Gummy, Dafka Gummy is okay. But if you put a small belt around the finger, that'll be a problem. That'll be Chaitis. Now, before, if you remember, we read before, he said, "Avol tilta katan have yitu begadim." It's an extra begad. Here we jump right to the lashon of chaitzitz. Rav already mixed up the lashonos, and Rav is a member of chaitzitz and yitu begadim. Here too, we don't mean chatzitza; we mean again yitu begadim. Meaning, the point is, even though the Gemara is quoting a different lashon, so far in Rabbi Rav Chia, nothing's different. It's the same shita. He's saying gummy's okay because that wouldn't be considered a begad at all. Whereas a small belt would be considered a begad, and it would be an extra begad, and therefore it would be a problem. We're using the word chatzitza here again. This is the second time. Chatzitza doesn't mean chatzitza. Chatzitza means yiter begadim, means extra begad. Okay, that's the same as before. So far, no difference in Rabbi Rav Chia. For Rabbi Yechonon, here we have a difference. Rabbi Yechonon Amar la'amr chatzitza b'pachas mishalosh shalish el b'makom begadim. When it comes to making chatzitza with a cloth that's less than 3 fingers by 3 fingers, that's only b'makom begadim. It's only in the spot of the begadim. Avashalay b'makom begadim. When you're outside of the area where it's normal for the kohen to wear begadim, top of kuf dalam and aleph shalosh chatzitzas. Whereas pachas mishalosh and chatzitzas. Tafka if it's 3 fingers by 3 fingers, is it a chatzitza? Again, chatzitza means yit begadim. When you're not in the spot of where the kohen wears his regular begadim, over there, 3 fingers by 3 fingers is a chatzitza, is considered an extra beged. Whereas less than 3 fingers by 3 fingers would not be considered an extra beged. If this sounds like Rava, it's because it is, exactly. It's more behind it, the Rava Mechizda. This fits like a glove with Rava, Amar, Rav Chizda, with what we said before from Rava Mechizda, same exact idea, that's away from the Makam Begadim, you need 3 fingers by 3 fingers to be considered a Yitr, an extra Begadim. Says the Gemara, Lema Pligi Rav Yudah Rav Chia. Let us say Rava argues in Rav Yudah Rav Chia. Right, because Rabbi Rechia said even a small belt is no good, and we're saying only 3 fingers by 3 fingers. Answer the Gemara, same defection as before. Shiny Siltzakatan is Chashiv, and therefore Rava could agree. So Rava could fit like Rabbi Bechia, he could feel like a Bechanan, or it could be somewhere in between. Rabbi Yechanan, the Mar now asked one last question on this conversation. Rabbi Yechanan, ad the Shema'inan gummy, the Shema'inan tzotz katan. Let's think for a second. Our Mishnah said you're allowed to put a gummy on a wound in the base of Middash. Why are you telling me a case of gummy? Gummy's not a material. Gummy's not a beged. Tell me a bigger chiddush. A tzotz katan, a beged, a small belt, which is a beged, which Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Bechia, is taka aser. So say, in the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that it's not aser because it's not three fingers or three fingers. Say a small belt is mutter. Say the bigger chiddush. Why do you say gummy? Says the Gemara, Milzavak, Avrucha Mashmalon, the gummy masi. We want to teach you a different chiddush that gummy is masi. And really, the truth is, if the conversation was made, the Gemara wanted to put it, it wouldn't even be in his Masechta, right? The conversation of Yitzhak Begadim is not really meant for Erevin, Dafkav Gimel. The conversation of Erevin, Dafkav Gimel is a conversation of things that are aser b'medina because they're aser b'drabanan, but they're mutter in the Migdash. Gummy is something that cures. It has a curative properties. It's like a medicine to an extent, and therefore it's a problem to use it in Medina, but you can use it in the Mikdash for Ein Shvus Mikdash. Says the Gemara, the reason why you pick gummy is to teach you that Chiddush, that din, that and the Mikdash is okay because of Ein Shvus Mikdash. But in Echnami, Lagabe the din of Yita Begadim, it would have been a bigger Chiddush to say gummy is for sure not a beged. Gummy is a reed grass. It's nothing. It's a bandage. It would have been a bigger Chiddush to say that even a small belt is also not a problem. We just didn't want to say that because we wanted to say the Chiddush of the item that cures. Now, just one quick question, really, a little bit of Chazara on what we had earlier in the Masechta. We had it way back when. It's almost 100 years ago, in the teens, we had in Erevin, it came up the topic of chatzitza. We discussed that on a derais level, just to remind ourselves, Chazara anyway, we discussed that on a derais level, a chatzitza is only chatzitza. The God, let's say, when a person has to go to the mikveh, typically going to the mikveh is for deraisa, is for nashim, is matnazeh. We don't even have it for men so much because we're tummy anyway, but going for nashim on a biblical level could be Erevin. Kippur, I want to say, but going for women going to mikveh regularly, of course, is a regular deraisa. So the halachas of chatzitza is still very applicable. So on a derais level, what's a chatzitza? Only if it is rubai hamakbid, both. It's got to be covering a rave of the body, and it's got to be something that the person is makbid about in particular. But if it's rubai, rave of the body, but they're not makbid on it, they don't care. Or it's miyat, they're makbid on it, but it's only miyat, the raisa wouldn't be an issue. There are banam geizer on rubai she'enei makbid, and a miyat, on rubai where you're not makbid, or a miyat that you are makbid, even though the raisa those are not a problem. The abundant said in those cases also would be geizer up to a case of rubai makbid where you have both. The geizer even when you have part, the geizer even part up to a case of both. We're actually particular to have none of it. We're actually particular, but that's extra chumra to have not even a miyat and not even in a makbid. B'diavad, if one went to the mikvah, let's say, I mean, as an example, if there's a drop of like, say, nail polish in the corner in a spot where they wouldn't be makbid. If the person be makbid, that you know, that's really a little more chumra. That's where he gets to the rabbanon. But if it's a spot where the mamash not makbid and it's a miyat, so in such a case we're lechatchilu or makbid to try to get rid of it, but if it was post facto we would say it's okay. But again, the rabbanim geizer on rubai she'ena makbid and miyat makbid, they treat it like rubai makbid. That's gzeir d'abanan. Okay, that's all early in the masechta. Over here we're talking about the claim with his begadim. The chayyim talking about chatzitzas, about having an issue of chatzitza. We're saying a mali nim, a little here is a problem. How on earth is are these tiny things? Forget about the issue of Yitzhak Begadim. We're focused on the here that's in, Rava says, the here in between is Begadim and his body. That little here is already a problem. Why is that a problem? At the very, even, first of all, he's probably not Makbid. Second of all, Zichron out of Rubai, all of a sudden we're being Makbid, Makatsa, Katsa. What's going on over here? It's very different than we had way back in the teens. So the first, indeed, say, I mean, the two Mahachim are pretty straightforward, where the first explained that, there's a fundamental difference between the din of mikveh and the din of kpeita elsewhere. By mikveh, it was a particular din. By mikveh, it was a particular din that we're saying that the kpeitas are minatayra rubei makbid. And I think, if I remember correctly, it's actually even in the Elchemesh Sinai. Elchemesh Sinai was made a leniency. Only rubei makbid is an issue. Less than that's not an issue. But elsewhere, we don't have that kula. Since we don't have the kula, since we don't have the Elchemesh Sinai, as a general rule, by the Elchemesh Sinai is often they downgrade what you would have thought. You would have thought more is usher, and a downgrade says no. Only this is us. So you don't typically have, if I remember correctly, halacha b'shizina is being machmir. They're typically being make of what you would have thought. I think it's the agdara. But anyway, the point is, over there, by mikveh, we have the halacha b'shizina to be more lenient. It's not an application, of course, every chatzitza in the world. That's a chatzitza by mikveh. The place can point out that legabe other things, for example, the kaviyah by the kayan, it wouldn't have that gedder. The gedder would be very simple. If you have to wear a beged, you have to wear a beged. Any chatzitza would be an issue, would be a problem without wearing a beged. And the tziv is one that makes this, one of the achorin that makes this distinction, that dafka for mikveh, we say such kulas, not for the chatzitzas, makes dafkunas, of course, and other, wherever there's another din of chatzitza, we cannot rely on the leniency, we're called, that we find by mikveh. There's another machlekes nirshayim also on this, before you see the Mishnah, just one line, a machlekes whether or not the kain, what the status of the kain is, what says avaid this used to be puzzle. If you're saying it's a problem of chatzitza, the avaid is puzzle, what's the status of a kain? A kain who does avaid without begadim is chayiv misa. Kayin does avodah begadim with chaimisa. What if he did the avodah with begadim, but there was this chatzitza there? We're saying that by this puzzle, in the case where it's called the chatzitza, whatever that shear is. According to Rava, afilu mali nimachas, even one here is a chatzitza. What if the kayin did avodah? The avodah is puzzle, and he's chayiv misa? Again, if he did, obviously, told me he did on purpose. If it was by mistake, he wouldn't be chayiv misa for a mistake. But lechera, is it that chamer? So it seems to be yes. It seems to be, I mean, it's machlekes about it, but there's certainly ashitas that say that yes, it would be considered mechus begadim. It's like a kohen doing a void of that begadim, because whichever begad has a chitza, it's if he's not wearing it. And once he's not wearing it, I believe they bring this from Rambam even. Once he's not wearing it, then it'll be considered mechus begadim. Mechus begadim is chayiv misa for doing a void without begadim. Unbelievable, unbelievable chiddush. So they have to be really careful, the kohenim, when they're doing a void, to make sure there's no hairs on their body, separating their body from the begadim. Okay. Zok the Mishnah again. We're kuf down on half towards the top. Zok the Mishnah. Beit kim, beis kim, melach agabe kevesh b'shvosh lechliku. You let us break up salt and put it on top of the ramp. This is by the Mizbeach. For the, I know the Kohanim shouldn't slip when they're running up the ramp. There was no roof necessarily over the Beis HaMikdash. When it rained, the ramp got wet. So in order that they shouldn't slip, they put the salt on the ramp. This is very relevant, of course, especially in the colder climates, especially where we live in North America. We have the snow. We're in the winter season now. We're starting it. So putting out salt that people shouldn't slip. So what do we say over here? You're allowed to, and we'll see, it's not so simple about putting out salt elsewhere. But over here it says putting out salt on the Mizbeach is okay, is fine. Why? In order that they shouldn't slip. Now, let me go back a step. What will be the issue? What will be the issue? So let's be clear in the sugya, the issue is, I mean, there's different explanations of what the issue could be, but the main issue that Rashi explains is an issue of building, of binyan. By putting the salt there and leaving it there, you put it there, you mevatel it there. So what did you do? Essentially, you add it to the binyan, you add it to the ground. It's like you're adding, it's a level to the ground. Funny, it's just salt, but since you mevatel to the ground, it's kind of like adding to the ground a kind of construction, a kind of binyan. So we're saying on the Mizbeach, it's okay. Umamalin, we'll see in the Medina, we'll see later about what you could do outside of this Medish. Umamalin, Mibaragailam, Baragadal, Bagag, Bashabas. Separately, you could draw water from the different wells. Baragailam, that's the Bar of Gullus, that's in the base Medish. Ubaragadal, and also the Great Well, that's also the base Medish. Bagalgal, with the wheel, you let use the wheel to draw these waters. Umabarakar, Biyantiv. And for the Barakir, Akir, the Barakir was a little further out. The first two were Mamish in the base Medish, they would draw water. The Barakir is further out of the base of Mikdash, but that you can use on Yantav, not on Shabbos. Okay, the Gemara will focus on the drawing up waters second. First, we're going to focus on the spreading salt on the ramp and the like. Rami Lair, it could remember Shina the Rava. By saying you could spread out salt on the ramp, even though, until now, the Gemara keeps saying, but Medina, Mikdash, yes, but Medina not. The Gemara didn't spell it out for us, but why did you pick the case of the ramp and the Mizbeach? Says the Rami Lair, it could remember Shina the Rava. So now, we looked at our Mishnah, Baiska Melech Agabe Kevitz Bishul Shalechliku, Mashma, the Mikdash and Medina Lai. Particularly based on the context of the past bunch of Mishnayos, plus the fact that you specified the ramp, which we're presumably talking about the ramp of the base of Mikdash, so it sounds like in the Mikdash it's okay, but out of the Medina would be a problem. For a minute, we have a steer for the following brisa, chatzer shenizkalkla b'mimik shabim. If it rained on the floor of a chatzer and the floor is yucky, and you want to make the floor a little smoother, what do you let it do? Maybe to have an amara d'boy, you could put straw on the ground and spread it out over the ground. So the Brice is permitting it, not just in the Mikdash, even in the Medina. It's mutter. We have a stira to the deacon our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, no. Shani tev the mevatalei. But we spoke out. What's the issue? It's really not just Rashi. It seems clear for the Gemara. The issue of the salt is you mevatal to the ground. When you mevatal to the ground, that seems to be a simple form of binyan, and therefore it's a problem. Straw, you don't mevatal to the ground. The clear intention is going to be still to gather it, to use it in building materials later, or to use it to animal fodder. You're going to gather the straw up after you spread it out. And therefore, since you're not being vowed to the ground, it wouldn't have a status of binyan mechal. Since there's no status of binyan, even like a rabbinic binyan, therefore it's mutter in the Medina. But the salt would not be a problem. So salt, according to this, would be a problem, not by the Mizbeach, but outside the Mizbeach, in the Medina, salt would be a problem. Just straw is better, because straw you gather back up. Salt, which you don't gather back up, would be a problem. So at the face value of it, again, I don't want to pass the Lachlamaisa, because if I remember correctly, there could be other discussions about putting salt, which is melting the ice, other discussions about doing that, but on Shabbos, but let's leave that for now. But maybe at the end if we have time, or maybe tomorrow, we'll speak out more Lachlamaisa on that. But the point is, based on our Gemara right here, straw is mutter, but salt in the Medina is indeed usser. Okay. But the reason, let me be more clear, the reason for the issue is because we're being massive on the ground, we have asphalt or concrete ground, you're not planning for the salt to stay there. You're not planning for the salt to be massive on the ground. On the contrary, the salt actually damages the concrete, it damages the asphalt. So this concern of adding to the ground will the chara not be a concern on our ground. But again, we'll leave the halach lamais element for it for later or for tomorrow. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amalei Rav Acha, Amalei Rav Acha, Rav Ashi, Hai Melech Echidami. What's the status of the salt by the scattering by the mizbeach. Eidim vatal kamas v'binyan. If you mivatal to the mizbeach, you mivatal to leave it there, then you mase v'binyan. You add it to the binyan, and we know the Gemara quotes the pasuk in parentheses. Well, maybe point out why it's parentheses. V'chisav akol b'chisav miyad Hashem al haskilu. The pasuk describes David Melch instructed the Shlaima that all the measurements were given to me miyad Hashem, meaning don't veer from the measurements. How could you add to the mizbeach? V'dloy kamatli kavi chatzitza. And I'm like, you're not mivatal the salt to the mizbeach. It's just there to make sure the kain doesn't slip. But then there's a chatzitza. We know kain needs to go barefoot. They have to be on the floor of the ritzba, on the floor of the mizbeach, on the floor of the ramp. They used to walk barefoot, no chatzitzas, having sold this chatzitza manushach. If you mivatal the binyan, so it becomes part of the binyan, then the chayyu you add it to the binyan. That's the way the parentheses at least has the question. The mer doesn't focus on the fact that you're just adding to the binyan on Shabbos. Okay, but you add it to the binyan, it's a problem of adding to the dimensions. Elamai yinam mivatlot, it's a chatzitza, says the Gemara. Answer number one is, we're talking about bringing the Evarim to the Kevesh, bringing the Evarim up the ramp, which the Gemara assumes is not Avaida. Why not? Because the halacha is, once you do the Zrik of the carbon is kosher. Of course, there's certainly a mitzvah to bring up the Emurim, bring up the Evarim, be makti the Evarim on the Mizbeach. Of course, that's a mitzvah, but you don't. It's not requisite. The carbon is already kosher without it. So the assumption is, anything which is not requisite, the carrying up of the Avarim, which is the halacha, bringing up the ramp, cannot be a real Avaida if the whole concept that he's doing is not requisite, is not ma'akiv anyway. Says Mar, it's not true. The pasuk says he should be makriv, the kai should be makriv and all, and be makter on the mizbeach. Amar, what does that include? Zuei leches evarim lekeves. This is the leches evarim lekeves. So we're saying leches evarim, the be meilech evarim up the ramp, is part of that pasuk. Hikir makarinus kol viktam zbecha. Very clearly, it sounds it is an avoda. So how can you tell me it's not mamish an avoda? It sounds like it is. By the way, there's a discussion in the Mefarshim. What would be the avoda of bringing the emurim up the ramp? I mean, what are the two options really? What's the avoda of bringing the emurim up the ramp? Is it another form of elacha? Just like you have elacha's dam from where you do the shechita kabbalah, you bring the elacha of the dam to the mizbeach. So to elacha of the emurim to the mizbeach and up the ramp is all part of elacha. Another melacha of elacha on the another avoda melacha of elacha. With regard to kabbonis, or is it part and parcel of haktara? Haktara is certainly an avida. This part of haktara. So they want to bring a raya from our pasuk over here. Hikir v'akredas they call the hikter mizbecha zuei lachas avarim. We seem to be putting it, lumping it in together with the haktara. We're making part of haktara. The problem is, if it's haktara, what was the havmina? It was an avida. We always knew haktara was an avida. We said some akiv haktara is an avida. We just thought that the bringing of the emurim up on the mizbeach for the haktara, when the haktara itself is amakiv, how could the lacha of that not be an avida if it's amakiv? But the haktara itself, the chayyur, is never havmina. Haktara is amakiv. So if the halacha of emurim up the ramp is part of haktara, then on the flip side, then it should be more of a svara that it shouldn't be a havmina. It's not an avida. That would be a right that it's a halacha. Again, it could be totally in the Havmi Limar and the Maskana. The Havmi may be held as a halacha, and therefore maybe it's nothing, and the Maskana is saying it's Haktara. Okay, but that's a Shaila in the Mefarshim. Do we consider a form of halacha or from Haktara carrying the Murim up? Okay, but that's definitely not that's not the Imalacha, and Avayit, I should say, that Chatzitza is okay. It's still Chatzitza's problem there too. So how could you have salt on the ramp and not be an issue? Says Gemara, you're right. The salt on the ramp was for a very specific case. Normally, they have to go barefoot. Of course, without any salt, and if it's rain, they just have to be careful, but they gotta do whatever they do, going up the Mizbeach, to bring up the Emurim, they have to be careful. If you know what's not called an Avaida, and yet they went up on the Mizbeach, you know what that is? It says Gemara, El Ema, Bailechas, Eitzim, Marach, Lav Avaidi, bringing the Eitzim, bringing the wood up. Bringing the wood up for the maracha, that's preparing the mizbeach for the maracha. It's something which is definitely necessary. It's not one of the avodas. If it's not one of the avodas, it doesn't have to be with the kain. I wonder if the kain has to be barefoot. If the kain certainly doesn't have to be, we don't have an issue with chatzitza of the salt between his feet and the ground and the ramp because that's not mamish avodah. It's just setting up the mizbeach with the wood for the fire. Amalei. Sorry, Darish. Actually, before Darish of Rava, let's just point out one side conversation on Kamesif Abinyan. We discussed the Chayyim being Meisif in the Binyan if you're Meisif on the Mizbeach. So, particularly the Mizbeach is a very interesting conversation. Is a stira. It's a fascinating alumdisha, almost like a brisk of art from Rabbi Arye Leib Malin that he was nifter very young. He didn't survive the war. He was nifter, he had a beautiful sefer, Kedusha Bar Leib. He was nifter at 39, 40 years old before during the war in Ebach. But he asked one of the shtiklach, he asked a stira in Rama, seemingly a very clear stira. Rama, the second paragraph base of Bechir, writes that one is not a halach gimel, it's usher to add to the dimensions of the mizbeach. Can't add to the dimensions of the mizbeach are fixed, you can't add. Seemingly, but they're related to this possibly quoted. You can't have the dimensions of the Mizbech yet in Balacha Yed Zayin, he says, as long as you have the minimum dimensions that we describe, the Torah describes, of how the Mizbech has to be, as given over to Moshe Rabbeinu, that Mizbech, so as long as you have the minimum, that's okay, you can make it bigger, but it can't be small. Which we actually had Gemaras that discussed the evolution of the Mizbech in different times, how it grew from size in size. But the point is, in Perek Beis Lachiyot Zayin, Rambam seems to be writing about the Mizbech being bigger, whereas in Perek Beis Lachiyot Gimel, 14 halachas earlier, he seems to write about an issue about the Mizbech being larger. So there seems to be a clear stira in Rambam on this concept of Mizbech being bigger or not. So the Rabbi Leib brings out from the Peskim is there's two different concepts with regard to the Beis HaBechira, the Beis HaMikdash itself, and the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. First of all, side point, we know that the there's an issur to make like the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. For example, Maskuntai Leisatz Kamai, a menorah. One's not allowed to make a seven-branch menorah, seven-branch candelabra. It's not so pasha. It depends. We've discussed it in the past. We had Rosh Hashanah. I think it's the Chavdal. We discussed Rosh Hashanah. Maybe Yudal. The Yudal and Rosh Hashanah. We discussed, the Gemara says, about not making a seven branch candelabra. The discussion is, ours today are usually rounded. Is that also a problem? That we brought the Shaila, actually the Shaila was brought to someone from in our community. The Shaila came up in our community, it was brought to Rabbi Yashiv, and he said, Tev Lahachmer, it's taka better not to leave it even when it's round, not to leave a seven branch candelabra. And there's ma'isim in within the shir. Actually, in my family, there are people that actually took a seven branch candelabra and stuck a piece of like a nice flower in the middle one and built it in order to be mekayim the Tev Lahachmer of Rabbi Yashiv. It's a seven branch candelabra, even though it's round and it's truly not the right size of the Beis Mikdash, it's a problem making the same size. You don't make it like the size of the Kalim, you don't make it the same type of structure as the Kalim in the Mikdash, even if it's not exactly the right size. However, you find also people making a model based on Mikdash, let's say, model based on Mikdash, and that's permissible. Why? Because as long as you don't make it the same dimensions as the base of Mikdash, that's fine. So by the base of Mikdash itself, the bias itself, dimensions are important. If it's not the same dimensions, then it's permissible to copy it. If it's small, different dimensions, it's okay. Whereas by Kalim, even if it's the wrong dimension, it's a problem. On the flip side of this, really, we'll get back to our conversation. The other way, where we said there's an issur to change the dimensions, there's an issue to change dimensions, the pasuk we quoted, where it says that all the dimensions given here were given for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore you're not supposed to you can't change it. That goes the other way too. That's dafka, perhaps, by the bias itself. By the kalim, you could change the size. Changing the size of a kli is okay. It's still a kli, still kisharas. It won't be an issue. Changing the size of a mikdash, that's where there's a problem. There's two different ideas over here. We have the base of mikdash, where there'll be an issue to adjust the size, and therefore, copying it in the wrong size would be permissible. You have kalim, where there's no issue in adjusting the size, and therefore, copying it would be prohibited in a case where you're on the same size. The Mizbeach, particularly the Mizbeach Chitzan, was built into the ground of the Beis HaMikdash. If it's built into the ground of the Beis HaMikdash, it's kind of this dual situation. It's Binyan and it's Kli. It's a Mizbeach and it's also Binyan. So therefore, when Rambam says that it's okay to change the dimension, he was coming beside the Kli Shabbai. I'm not sure, maybe he's talking about a different Mizbeach, maybe the Mizbeach HaPnimi, or Stam Alts Kli. Alts Kli changing the size is okay. But Alts Binyan changing the size would be a problem. So the Rambam would say that's the two. Again, it's not fully answering if Rama's talking about the same as Beach. In one case, says you can make a bigger one, says you can't. It would seemingly be a stira. But else two different dinim, else the din of changing the dimensions of the Mikdash, that could be a problem even on Mizbeach, when the Mizbeach is built in. But else the din of changing the size of a Kli, that wouldn't be a problem even in the Mizbeach. Else Kli, that wouldn't be an issue because Kalim could be a different size. That was the Chidushe of Rabbi Leib Malin on this Rambam. Okay, says the Marvaiter.
Just a thought.
Yeah?
Again.
Okay, it's perfect. Fine. Dorash Rava. Rava Darsh, Chatzah Shaskaka make Shamim, a courtyard that got ruined by rain, maybe Tevin Radabai. So Rava Darsh, this thing we said before, you let him bring Tevin Radabai and spread it out. And we didn't get into the nuances before about how you spread it out. We just said you let him spread out the straw, and that's Rava taught it. However, there was a problem, a little bit of a problem, it needed a little qualification, let's say. I'm really a problem, Rava says, Rava, Vatan, you have a braitsa. Because Shemrada, when you do spread the straw in Imrad Lebesal, not with the basket, Lebekupa, not with the box, don't spread it normally from regular box or basket, Elbashulay Kupa, only from the base of the basket. I mean, like a broken basket, spread it in it with some sort of shinoi for the way it's regularly done. That's the main point of his brisa. Rava, who made no mention of the shinoi, is the charei shver. It's what Rava's asking. Rava says, you're right. Hadug Rava Amarilei. Rava appointed a speaker. Amar is like a speaker. They used to have back in the day, they didn't, instead of microphones, they would speak the shir, like on a certain tone, and then there was a person with a very loud voice who would repeat the words very loudly. So Rava appointed the speaker to announce in the base medrash, the darash drav shemart lufneichem, the words they said in front of you, tayyazem yadi. They were tayyazem, which is a beautiful, very interesting idea. Rava didn't say anything that was directly wrong. He just left out, Rava didn't specify that it should be done with the shinoi, and Rava came up and said, the words I told you were a mistake. Tayyazem yadi. Bram kacham rishim rebelezer, they said, name of rebelezer, kshimirad, they added the name of rebelezer, and we had the price actually didn't say those words, but Rava now is quoting it. In the name of rebelezer, from this din, that what? Because you're rather in about the labor of the kufa, elvish likufa. You don't do it with a regular box, with a regular basket. Rather, you do it with the base of the box, which means basically a broken box, some sort of shina. You do it in an abnormal fashion. You don't do it in the regular way. Okay. Now we send the mission with two dots. We're about a third, a little more than a third, we're almost halfway down, a kuf dalam alef, getting back to the second part of the mission. The second part of the mission was discussing how you're allowed to draw up water from well on Shabbos. Really, we're going to get into totally set machlekes here. We're getting to machlekes over here of kleshir, of making noise on Shabbos. I say kleshir, actually. It's a machlekes about the rabbinic isser of making noise on Shabbos, and it's actually going to be machlekes hagufa in the Gemara discussion. Is the isser dafka musical noise or any noise? Is it, right? Mashmas kol is making noise come out on Shabbos. Is that an issue of any noise or dafka musical noise? That's going to be the whole focus of this Gemara. But one of the rayas is going to be, namely the fourth raya, is going to be from our Mishnah, from drawing water from the well, and hence the conversation is over here. That's going to be the connection to our sikh. Let's see. The Malma Barga, we'll speak more about the well itself, a little more nuance about the din itself in the Mishnah on Amud Beis, in the last Gemara that, before the next Mishnah. Says the Gemara. The Malma Bar Agaila, Ula Ikla Bib Nasha, Ula came to the base, the house of Rav Nasha on Shabbos. Also, we got Ritarif Abava. And someone came to the house and knocked on the door. A man came and knocked on the door with like the door knocker. Amar Mai Manhai. So Ula said, when he was at the guest of the house, said, who's this guy? Leischel Gufei to Kamaskele Shabbat. Stark. Let his body be Mechab, desecrated, so to speak. He's desecrating Shabbos. Let his body be desecrated. Ula held the knock, the door knocker, the noise you make with the door knocker is a problem on Shabbos. Amle Rabbis. Rabbi said, the Asr of Kol Shel Shir. What do you mean? They only Asr the Kol of Shir. Only Kol of music is an issue. By the way, the reason of Kol of music being an issue is because Shem Yisak and Kol Shir. You may come to fix Kol Shir. But Stam noise is not an issue. So Ula apparently is of the opinion that Stam noise is an issue. And he said this person is being Mechal Shabbos. And Rab is arguing and saying, no, that only the sounds of music is an issue, not Stam any sound. So the Murnah is going to bring Rias to Ula, Rias really against Rabbah, that any sound is an issue, not just music. Esvei Baisa Bayes, Rabbah, Malam B'Diyayfi. Diyayfi is a juxtaposition of two words. Diyay is plural, is two, and P is Peh. Diyayfi, a double mouth. So we had Tavla Mesev Tandu. Better for a woman to live with any other person, any other companion, than to live alone. She'd rather live with even a person who's not the most choicest companion than to be alone. Tavla Mesev Tandu, I'm going to do again. Do is double. Do is two. So do, B'dyefi, is actually a double-sided tube. And the point, this is the classic original idea of siphoning off. People, you want to siphon off some gas from a car. You stick a tube in, you suck a little bit, and it causes all of a sudden some flow, and once I don't remember the exact scientific mechanics of it, but once it causes the flow to start, it keeps coming and out of the other side, right? So that's exactly what you do over here. It says the Gemara, Malin Daifi, you could take from one barrel, B'dayfi, from one barrel to the other barrel with this tube, Umatifa Miyarak L'chil B'Shabbos, and you can make water, this is the part that we need, you can make water drip from an Arak B'Shabbos. You're saying you're allowed to do these things, the Chiddush is, you're allowed to do these things on Shabbos, you're allowed to let the water drip from this Arak for the Chayla on Shabbos. Now, L'chayla in the Barilai. The assumption is, the Arak is just to clarify the Arak is, it's basically a kli, which had an opening on top, had tiny holes on the bottom, and water wouldn't be able, the holes are so small, the water pressure, the water wouldn't be able to escape. When you open up, this is also a little scientific experiment, when you open up the top and let more air in, the air coming in causes that now water actually drips out of the tiny, tiny holes that are on the bottom of the kli. So you're allowed to open the top to cause the water to drip out from the bottom, and it causes a drip, 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 a drip drop. It causes like some sort of like, it's almost like a sound of like clinging. So you let it do it for chayla. Says the Mar Diak, lechayla in the barilai, dafka for chayla, not for a healthy person. Now, what's the case of this arak of this noise? Hechadam lav denoim v'kabay later. Are we talking about a chayla who's not well, who's sick, who's resting, who's sleeping, and you want it to use that as just an alarm clock to wake him up? It's basically an alarm clock to wake him up. It's only mutter for a chayla. For a healthy person, it can't be used. It's just a noisemaker. It's a noisemaker. It's just an alarm. Why is it a problem? It's not a shear. It's not music. Shema mina, all day kala aser. We see producing noise, producing sounds is aser, even if it's not. Even if it's not as a sound of music, a sound of shear. Says the Gemara, no, your assumption is wrong. The Gemara defends for Rabba, loy the tir v'kay v'kaboy delenim. We're talking about a sick person and he's trying to go to sleep. He's awake. The tear means he's awake. The kavod delenim, and he's trying to fall asleep, and he needs some soothing sound, some soothing music, some like you know, some tropical rainforest, some sort of sound to make him go to sleep. This dripping of the water is like bells. It's like bells. It's like little sounds like these soft little bells as the water drips, and that actually aids him in going to sleep. That's like a musical sound. Rabba agrees that someone who's like a musical sound is problematic, and if you have no kasha Rabba from that member. Next kasha. Eisve again, Abaya on Rabba. Hamisham Peresa Mene Aifas. One is watching his fruit from, he's guarding it from the birds. Odlev Mene Chaya. He's guarding his Dlev, his gourds from the Chaya, for the animals. He can watch it normally on Shabbos. Vashi Yasapik. He can watch it the normal, he could watch the way he normally watches during the week on Shabbos. Well, Vashi Yasapik, but he can't clap his hands. Nor can he beat his chest. Play racket. He shouldn't dance. He shouldn't do these things. My timer. Why not? Sounds like making noise is a problem. It's creating noise, clapping noises, and creating noise is an issue. Even though it's not musical, it's still an issue. It's a riot again that noises are problematic, like Ula was saying, even not musical. Kasha and Rabba. Says, no. There. If you're going to allow him to do actions such as provocative as making noises, he may also forget himself to pick up a rock and throw it. In order to scare off the birds, and throwing the rock, man, what's he going to do? He's throwing a rock from his Rishis Yachid. He's going to throw it towards where the birds are coming into Rishis Rabim. He's going to be doing the melech of Haitza, and therefore it's a totally separate issue. Says the Gemara still, El Hada Amar Vidabar Amar Rav, Nashim Ashachas Begazim Asr, women that play, they used to play a game with nuts on Shabbos Asr, my time allowed to call Amayalad Kala, the Kala de Kala Asr, isn't the issue of playing with the nuts because it makes noise, the nuts, the shaking of the nuts inside the shells make noise, even though it's not a musical sound, it's Asr because of noise. Isn't that another riot that's Asr, just noise is Asr? Lying the rest is no. When they're playing the game, there's the same reason why it was Asr to play ball. The issue of playing ball is the same reason, because you're going to come to level out the ground by in order for to be able to play the game, to play with the nuts, you're going to make sure the ground's flat and you're going to get rid of the little holes, little ditches, and that's the problem of Baina, you're fixing Gumas. I'll bring you a proof that that's the issue. You know why? Because not only is this a problem by nuts, they used to play the sport with other fruits as well. What fruits? Apples. Apples don't make any noise. Women playing the game with apples is also usher. You have to mask over there. There's no noise. So the issue obviously is not a noise issue. It must be the issue of making, flattening out holes. That's the issue, not an issue of noise. And if you have, again, you have no raya to the question whether or not noise is us or even without music, because the issue over there was a noise regardless. Okay, now we finally being a raya from our mission. That's why this comes up over here. Tanan. You could draw water from the baragaylets, like the gullus, that was the name of it, the gullus bar, or the other, the great bar, with this galgo, the wheel, on Shabbos, but mikdash and medina light. But sounds pretty clear, both these wells were actually in the base mikdash. In the mikdash, you're allowed to do it, not in the medina. Now, why not? Because presumably, when you're using the well, it makes a lot of noise. My time, I guess they didn't have the WD-40. It made noise when they roll the pitcher, the pail into the well up and down, and that's a problem in the medina. It's drabana making noise, but the mikdash is okay because ain't just mikdash. But what do you see? You're not making musical noise; it's just noise, and still it's usher in the medina. Raya against Rava loy gezer shem yimali leginasu chavas. A totally separate issue in the base of mikdash. Doing it for avodas mutter in the person's privacy of his home, drawing from the well on Shabbos will be an issue, even if it's not a problem of Eitzah. Let's say took care of the issue of Eitzah. It's a problem because it's a gezeira. You're going to start drawing water. You're going to forget yourself and draw water for your garden or for your churva. It means the plants in one's garden or one's churva. They used to have the churvas where the walls, where it was an old house that was broken down, and very often the walls were also missing. So it became almost like an outdoor, garden area. So they used to put the plants there. So you can use the water for the plants of your garden or your ruin, and therefore it's a separate gezeira. A meimer sharba mamle begegosa pechusa. A meimer allowed people to draw water with these gilgos, with these wheels on in Mechuzah, even on Shabbos. Over here, we don't really have gardens. We don't have churvas. So if you go to the real dense city areas, right? You go to the downtowns or in over here in Toronto. If you go to the downtowns where there's basically no gardens there, or you go to a place like Manhattan, or if we have rows and rows of buildings or no gardens, we go to areas even in other places as well, where there's not homes with gardens, there's just buildings with very little or no gardens. So over there it should be mutter. Hachle ginek of lechorvika. Keeping the closet the cup, once you are made masur, top and base, the times have changed. What happened? People started planting flax. They started planting in his area. They were soaking flax with the water. Also, he says, also, because we see they're using it for something. They use it during the week, even for something that's prohibited on Shabbos. And therefore, he asked them for drawing the well on Shabbos, because he may come to use it, water that you draw from the well, he may come to use it for astika purposes. Umeber hakir. We said in the Mishnah that from the ber hakir, you could use it as well, only on Yom Tov. My ber hakir, what's this ber hakir? Amar Shmuel bar shekiru aleh tvarim vitiru. It's a bar that they had machlekes in about it, and they had discussions about it, and then they were matter it. So after they had the conversations about it and were matter in those conversations, this bar became known as the bar akir. Says the Mara Meisvei, like all bar akiris leitiru elosubavad. Not all bar akir wells a mutter, only this one. It means shekirud from leil. It's just a bar that they had said conversations related to the bar, but it's nothing special. It's nothing special with the metzias of the bar. There's nothing unique about the bar akir. Meisul bavad. What does it mean? Only this one, or other ones. Elam Rav Nachman, Reisuk, you're right. You know this bar. This was not a unique bar. It was be'er mayim chayim. It's a bar of fresh flowing water, meaning there's an underground spring underneath it of flowing water. That's the kir. That's the reference to kir. Shemar kir biar memel. As a wellspring that causes water to flow. So that well, that's what's unique about it. Therefore, you're allowed to use it always. You can't use it on Shabbos because outside the base of English you can't carry. But on Yom Tov you can carry. Carries on issue. You can use it on Yom Tov as well. Says the Gemara Gufa Leikol Beir Sakiris Itiru Eluzubavad Kshol Ben Hagadol. When Ben Hagadol came up, Chanul there. They camped outside this well. When Neviim Shbenam Itiru them, and the Neviim amongst them, they were matzot to use on Yom Tov. Neviim Shbenam not doesn't literally mean the Neviim. Meaning it wasn't the Nevi'im, who the only Nevi'im left then, by the way, times of Ezra, Chagiz, Chag Malachi, it wasn't the Nevi'im, Ela Minig Avaisim Edem, it was the Minig Avaisim, they remembered the Minig Avaisim that they used to use it way back when, and they reenacted that they're able to use it now again. Let's just quickly see the Mishnah, and I want to speak on one more very, very important Taz, maybe the one of the most famous Tazes in all of Shulchan Aruch. But let's quickly see the Mishnah. There's plenty of time tomorrow. It's a very short daf. Let's see the Mishnah. We'll leave the Gemara, the rest of it, for tomorrow. Says the Mishnah, Sheret Shenim Sim Mikdash. A Sheret found the Mikdash. There's two issues over here. A Sheret in the Mikdash obviously presents an issue of Tumah. A Sheret is also Mukta. We're talking about the Sheret was found on Shabbos. So you got a problem of removing the Sheret, which is A, the Sheret is Tumah, but also whoever touches it is going to be opening himself up to Tumah. But there's also a problem of the Sheret being Mukta on Shabbos. So what do you do? Says the Mishnah, Sheret Sim Mikdash. A Sheret was found in the Mikdash. Kayim might see the Kuna finds it. Beimanai. He uses his belt. That's what Rashi explains Beimanai means, like with his belt. Shalil Ashes. You pick it up with the belt, Maitzia, he takes it out with his belt in order not to have Tuma be prolonged in the Mikdash. You get rid of it. Rashi says the belt becomes Tuma. Yeah, the belt becomes Tuma. But the belt becomes the Sheretz is an Avatama. The belt becomes a Rishon. The Kayan won't become Tuma from Rishon Tuma. We know it's only Gzira Dabanas maybe, but a Kayan to become Tuma from Rishon Tuma, a person can only become Tuma from an Avatama, not from a Rishon Tuma. And the belt itself is becoming Tuma, but the Kayan won't become Tuma if you're carrying. Because there's no tumas masa by a sheretz. Tiber bechem breika. That's all bechem breika. Bida imer betzeves shall eat shall the rabbis tumah. He says no. I'd rather a different option. The other option is to find a pshuti kliyetz, a piece of wood. It's not subtle for tumah. Find the pshuti kliyetz, scoop up the sheretz onto the pshuti kliyetz, and remove it. The problem is that it takes more time. He says I'd rather spend a little more time and find the pshuti kliyetz and remove it without being mace of tumah onto, let's say, this beggar, this belt, as opposed to getting out faster and any tumah. Whereas obviously, Rebbe the opposite yield, getting out faster is more important than being makpe that the tumah shouldn't spread at all. Meichem Maizino said, where do you take it out from? Which areas of the Mishmidlish do you need to remove it from? Again, we're talking about specifically on Shabbos. During the week, you remove from everywhere. But on Shabbos, where there's also involved the mukta issue, so which areas are you allowed to remove from on Shabbos? Mena Heichel, or Mena Ulam from the Heichel. Area from the ulam, which is of course where the ulam is, the area right outside the eichel. Mebein ulam mizbeach, even to the ulam and the mizbeach, which is in the chutzner, which is in the azara, I should say. Tivav shemananis, Rabbi Akiva Imer, kol makam shechayim lezayin akaris al shas chadash. Wherever being tame, a person being tame is chayiv. For Mabez Akaris and Shaykhatas, that's where Meshabbat Sira say that's the areas they move the shares from. Wherever you don't have that level of Chiyav, level of Isser, you don't remove it. We're going to have a discussion tomorrow, by the way, we're not going to have a today, we'll have tomorrow, whether or not it's even a problem. A person can't go in the Mikdash for Tumah, but is there a problem that happens to be a Sheretz of Tumah in the Mikdash? It may, there's certainly at least one sheet that says, I think Shmuel, it's not even an issue. It's not even an issue to have Tumah in the, having Tumah in the Mikdash itself, having the Sheretz in the Mikdash itself is not the issue. The issue is a person who's Tumah being in the Mikdash. We did have a similar concept by Saita blowing up in the Mikdash. Okay, says the end of the Mishnah. Usham Mekaymas Kaifin Love Paschater. Another place you take a copper pot, you cover the sheretz left the Shabbos, and remove it then if the Shabbos. But you don't remove it on Shabbos. The Mishnah has the last cryptic line, which the Gemara explains what it means. Rabbi Shimon Eimer, Makom Shetir LaChachamim, Mishnah Chanas Lach. When the Chachamim said you a place, a kula, they gave to you what's yours. Shetir LaChachamim, Mishnah Shavus. The only matter of Shavus, the Gemara is going to explain what Rabbi Shimon is going on, where he's going, and what he's referring to. But the one Taz I want to point out was really the whole discussion. Shavus called. We had a whole conversation with Shavus called Usher only when it's music or even if it's just making noise. We never really came to a full fledged resolution on the Shaila. We had Ulushita and Rabbi Shita. We brought Rias. We deflected all the Rias. So Taisus. If you go back to Amar Alf, because Amar Alf Teisus Hakagars brings Stadim Kanakan, he brings the Machlekes in the Rishonim, whether or not any Kol is Aser, or even only the Kol of music. Clearly, Agamar before Rias against Rabbah, that wanted to bring before Rias that any Kol is Aser. That would seem to be the simple way to say the Agamar is with the Sada, any Kol is Aser. The flip side is no, we deflected all the Rias, even though you had four Rias, we deflected them, even though they're Teritzim to the Kashas, they're still Teritzim, and therefore no clear Rias against Machlekes Rishonim. The Beis Yosef brings the Shalacha about not using a door knocker, to not use a door knocker on Shabbos. The question is, what attack is the Aser? What attack is the Aser? Unless you say, if you pass them that any noise is Aser, great, go Rishonim. But seemingly, we're talking more particularly Makbet only on Kleshir. We're not Makbet on any noise. If we're not making any noise, then what will be the problem using a door knocker, which Beis Yosef seems to bring, that it's still a problem using a door knocker, even if you hold that it's only clay share, still going to be us to use a door knocker. So they give to Malchim. One is, of course, always the easy go-to. I don't want to make a chesik of it, but whenever we have an Isser of Shabbos, which doesn't have a clear Isser, we say the reason why it confesses us over the Dechel. It resembles the weekday activity, and therefore it's us. I'm not sure what over the Dechel you have in a door knocker, but that's what the Pesachim do bring it as an explanation for Rabbi Zayzid. But the other explanation they give is that maybe you're going to fix it. These things tend to break, and maybe you'll fix it, like Shem Yisak and Klishir, that applies even by a door knocker, even though it's not a musical instrument, over there that logic could still apply. It would make sense that it would be us, even if you hold it's only Klishir, not regular noise, it would apply there. But the main point I want to bring up for the Taz, I'll stop with this, is that we spoke on this halacha just a couple days ago. On Rosh Hashanah, we know we don't play Shofar. Why? Because we're scared. Shem Yavir Vrenda Dan Amos, you're going to carry Dan Amos. It's a Chacham, you'll bring it to a Chacham. Ask the Taz, Bam Gasha, why do you have to come on to Shem Yavir Vrenu? We spoke a couple days ago about why you focus on Shem Yavir Vrenu. Why don't you focus on taking from Rosh Hashanah to Shish Rabim? On Yitzah of Rosh Hashanah to Shish Rabim, why the Yitzah of Dan Amos? We had a nice teretz that there's a big distinction between Rishus Yechus Rishus Rabim versus going for Rishus Rabim. That was the sfer we had a couple days ago. But the Taz is a different question. Why focused on Shem Yavrenu, on Yitzah B'chlal, focus on Shem Yisak and Kleshir? We know the Rabbanan say you can't deal with any musical instruments, so you should be geyser, because you make it to fix it. You can't blow shayfa, because you're blowing noises. That's really more musical, certainly. L'chayr over there, it should be a problem with Shem Yisak and Kleshir. Answers the Taz, a couple of answers, but this second answer is a famous Yisayit. It's used in many other scenarios in Halacha, and that is that the Rabbanan never make a gzeira to Aser a mitzvah. Remember, this year, we didn't have Shefer on the first day of Rosh Hashanah because of Shabbos. We didn't have Lulav, always happens at the same time, obviously, on the first day of Sukkot. Zikr mitzvah derayis of Lulav, it was the first day, and especially in Medina, out of the base of Middash. It's the first day we didn't have Lulav on the first day because the Rabbanim of Gezer. You can't Shem Yavreni, make him to carry it. That's the power of the Chamim. We didn't have the mitzvah of Lulav on the first day of Sukkot either. But the Rabbanim only make gzeiras, even if we're going to miss it in a particular year, only if they're not completely uprooting the mitzvah of the Torah. If the Rabbanim's gzeira will lead to completely uprooting the mitzvah of the Torah, then they don't make such a gzeira. Think about the lumdus. If Rosh Hashanah is the same din of Shem Yisak and Klei Shir like Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah is the issue of using Klei Shir because you make Kutim Misakin. If the Rabbanim gzeira that the reason why you can't blow Shofar is because of Misakin Klei Shir, that would be a problem every Rosh Hashanah, both days, always, you can never blow Shofar, Shem Yisak and Klei Shir. That can't be. It would come out the Rabbanim being Eikah, the mitzvah of Shofar in Gansen. The Rabbanim never do that, never could do that. Only gzeira. So you find other places where there's questions. The Rabbanim made such a gzeira. The same logic applies here. We want to make the gzeira. I'm drawing a blank now, another case, but it comes in multiple cases. And this Taz is Yisayit, it's a beautiful Yisayit. Is used in all these other cases where we say anytime the gezeira will be such that it uproot the mitzvah completely, there are but we have only on a temporary basis, only on a part-time basis, to completely uproot a mitzvah with a gzeira, that they don't do, and that's why the issue the gzeira is al shemi avrena tanamis, but not al kleshir, and that's therefore only relevant when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, not relevant in other scenarios. We'll pause over here and pick it up mitzvah tomorrow. Make a see him. I think.